In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your first place Miami Dolphins, part of the League Network. Brought to you by BetOnline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Mr. Backwards Hat, Dr. Christopher Cullen. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, shadow from the bill. I figure I put it in the back, and now it looks like I'm wearing a doctor cap. So
it looks like you're wearing a skull cap, like Tua Tagovailoa and his new haircut.
Speaking of that, we get to see more in-depth detail about that tonight, because it is Tuesday night at recording for Hard Knocks in season for the Dolphins.
Well, let's just start there. Hard Knocks in season, Miami Dolphins. The players didn't seem like they wanted it there. The coaches didn't want it there. I mean, of course, we're going to watch it. It's appointment television. But the first episode rumored to be about Tua Tagovailoa's new braids and everything that goes into that, which to me smacks of we have nothing. This is more boring than we expected it to be. Let's create and manufacture some TV news. Is it not? Or I mean, what the hell? This is what we get after all this hype about the Miami Dolphins being exciting.
Like, the entire hour is going to be based on Tua and his hair?
I don't know. I mean, that's the rumor, is that there's a lot going on with the hair. I mean, other than if you want to watch Robbie Chosen get cut, get re-signed, get cut again, get put on the practice squad, get onto the main roster, which he's now a full-fledged member of the main roster again, because we put Suvon Ahmed on the injured reserve today. It's bizarre, but I'm beside myself, Chris. I'm so angry at so many things, and I'm going to try to direct that anger towards the Miami Dolphins opponent this week, the New York stupid Jets, playing on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Their season is pretty much kaput. Miami Dolphins are heading towards the playoffs. But before we get into the reasons why you and I and everyone hate the New York Jets, I have to tell you that the holiday season is off and rolling, Chris, with NFL in full stride and NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. With up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four, no. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that is played. So you can be degenerate with any sport, Chris, and bet money on it. For MMA to international soccer, there you go. Who do you got in the international soccer play, Chris? What's your bet on betonline.ag for international soccer?
Argentina.
I'm a Barcelona FC man myself, but head to BetOnline today and remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And I don't usually add Chris into the ad for BetOnline. He was taking a swig of a beer when I asked him a question, and he almost choked on it there. What are you drinking there, Chris?
Yeah, it's from Asheville, North Carolina. It's a seasonal Claw Hammer Oktoberfest from Highland Brewing. Been around since 94. Pretty tasty, not overly pumpkin-y. Good stuff.
Clawhammer is a great name. I think the Miami Dolphins are about to drop the Clawhammer on the New York Jets this Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, Black Friday football game, Chris. So we have the three games on Thanksgiving, which is tradition, but now we've got one on Black Friday. The NFL coming for every holiday, manufacturer otherwise. What are your thoughts on us playing Black Friday, midday, against the New York Jets?
Yeah, I had to take a fucking PTO day because we're playing in the middle of the workday. For all some of us essential pleb employees, we don't close all weekend. So banks back open Friday. Slowest day of the year, by the way. I've worked a few Black Fridays. It's so slow. Everybody shops in the morning, goes out to eat, goes home. Don't even think the bank's open. So I skipped it. PTO day, getting paid, hang out, watch the Dolphins. In the beginning of the year, thinking it's Dolphins versus Rodgers. Now it's Dolphins versus Tim Boyle and the New York Jets. So I just hope we get a win, man. Make it a good, fun holiday weekend and start the next week happy.
Yeah, I don't think the schedule makers had it as what did you say? His name was Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle.
As the actual, you know,
starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
But you were talking about Asheville. I wanted to throw out Lone Rider, I believe, is the is the brewing company that they actually have Perfectville Brewing or Perfectville Pilsner. So they actually have, it's Miami Dolphins theme. I think the fan club out there in Raleigh actually got it. They did a small sample of, or not a sample, but like a tasting or whatever, what they call the Perfectville Pilsner. I need to get my hands on that, Chris. I don't know about you, but I would like to drink from the nectar of the Perfectville Pilsner.
Yeah, I feel like right here would be a good spot for a can or a bottle right behind me here after drinking said can, of course.
Yeah, I'll just make a beer mid behind you. Like you see, to see how it goes throughout the entire day. Like, wow, that's a long show. They had six cans. No, they lost to the Jets. That's how you drink that in 10 minutes.
You have a funny picture of you, sir, at my house hugging a mountain of beer cans. So, yeah, been there, done that, buddy.
Every single time somebody asks for like a headshot or some sort of professional service that I provide, I always give them that picture. It's always me with a shirt bandana on my head laying out across like 35 beer cans with a cigarette in my mouth. And that was at your house. And then there's another picture of you like basically butt fucking me because you took a picture of me like passed out and you're on top of me.
That's right. Those do exist.
Well, speaking of butt fuckery, let's get into the New York Jets and why we hate them. Let's get into the preview here. We got a short week here, Chris. Black Friday in New York, MetLife Takeover, Miami Dolphins 7-3, first place with a healthy first string quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa against the, I guess, third place 4-6 New York Jets with their third stringer, now their first string quarterback. Let's get into it, Chris. Three reasons why we hate the New York Jets, and you should too. Why don't you go first? Why don't you get two and I get one? And let's preview this this Black Friday game of the NFL.
Look, it's easy, Sam, to point out anything to hate about the New York Jets. They are literally, other than Buffalo, well, in New England, but the Jets to me just are the worst. They are the worst of the three to me. I know you hate Buffalo, but the Jets to me, Sam, I've been to three live games against the New York Jets, one in New Jersey, two in Miami. We were unsuccessful in winning all three of those while I was in person there. I hate that they're in New Jersey and call themselves the New York Jets. I hate their fucking fans and their goddamn accents and how they just, this weird feeling of themselves that they're anything but inbred douche dumpster babies that just shouldn't exist. But I'll pick just one for now, Sam, to give you time for your own. I hate that I went on Christmas night in Miami and watch the Dolphins lose to the Jets and had to hear J-E-T-S chants in, at the time, Pro Player Stadium. Rainy night, my wife, then girlfriend, surprised me, my best friend with tickets. Never, didn't know it was happening. Christmas night miracle was amazing, and we lost. And that was the game where Zach Thomas knocked out Lavernius Coles, I believe it was. Completely just railroaded him, and I was talking shit to Jet fans that he was quote dead, and those fans walked by as I sat there sulking and went, is he dead? Or, looks like you guys are dead, and clapped in my face as they left. I hate that game. I hate that moment. I hate the Jets.
Yeah, there's so many iconic, I guess, names of plays and games and moments between the Jets and the Dolphins over the years, but most of them, not all, but most of them have gone against the Miami Dolphins. So it's always like a little bit of a shiv into the ribs every single time they show certain things, which we'll talk about during the drinking game later. But I hate the fact, Chris, that Tim Boyle, as you already talked about, is the starting quarterback for the Jets in this game on Friday. Not Zach, whatever the fuck his last name is, Wilson. And not Aaron Rodgers. Thank you, Zach. I almost said Zach Harrison. I'm like, that's not even a person. Zach Morris? No. Zach Wilson. Look, Zach Wilson is historically bad. Historically bad, and I was really hoping that the Miami Dolphins would have a shot at playing him because the New York Jets offense has 9 touchdowns total on the season, Chris, which ties Tyreek Hill. Like, that's how bad they are. Our wide receiver has as many touchdowns as the New York Jets does this entire season, which tells you, of course, that Raheem Mostert has even more because I think he has 10, if I'm not mistaken. So we have 2 offensive players that are tied or have more offensive touchdowns than the New York Jets do all season long. I was really hoping that this revamped Miami Dolphins defense would get a chance to get after Zach Wilson. Instead, we have the unknown in Tim Boyle, which I just looked up his stats, Chris. I'm not worried about Tim Boyle, but this is one of those that's so Dolphins moments where he's going to come out and rip us for 350 yards and two touchdowns. And we're going to go, what the hell happened? And it's going to be closer than we expect. But I looked up, I don't think you have, but I looked up how many career games has, let me ask you this. Let's play a little game here. How many years has Tim Boyle been in the league?
Three.
This is his fifth season. Okay, so you're better than I would have said. I figured they signed him halfway through the game last week. How many games has he appeared in 5 years?
Four.
18. That surprised me. So he's got a season worth of metrics here, I suppose. How many attempts has he thrown in 5 years in 18 games? How many throws in the NFL does Tim Boyle currently have?
75.
120. So how many have those has he completed?
75.
Pretty close, 73. So 73 for 120, which is a completion percentage of 60.8. I would have expected it to be worse than that. That's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not great. It's borderline not good, but it's not the worst. 60% of his passes are completed to the people that he's supposed to be throwing the ball to. How many yards? How many yards does he have?
73 completions, 680 yards.
607. Yeah. I wonder if you're looking. Are you starting to look this up? Are you Googling?
I'm looking right at you. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I'm just doing it. So here's how my math works in football. 120, 70 completions. I think most receivers average 8 to 9 yards per catch. The great ones are 12 to 15. So I'm thinking he's in a mop-up duty or things like that. And maybe they're I put it at almost a 10 yard per completion, and I lowered it a little bit. So that's
yeah, he's at 5.1. But all right, how many touchdowns has he thrown in 5 seasons, 18 games, and 3 different teams, by the way?
6.
He's thrown 3. He's thrown 3 touchdowns.
I thought 6 was low.
Yeah, how many interceptions?
12.
9. So you're giving him a little bit too much credit on the touchdowns and interceptions, but most of these are inconsequential. But that's kind of my point here. His overall rating, he's been sacked twice, and his overall QB rating is 50.9. So he's not.
What's the other two teams he's played for?
Packers and the Bears. Actually, it might be the Lions. Hold on. Packers, Lions, Bears. 4. Okay, so the Jets are his 4th team. He was on the Packers for 2 years. He went to the Lions. And then the Bears. The Lions, he had his most success, but I think they were like one Tim Boyle injury away of you and I starting for the Lions that year.
Right.
So he's not like better than Zach Wilson, but I really wanted to see our defense get after Zach Wilson and just punish him further into the ground. I mean, they outside of one touchdown this past week against the Bills, which basically was set up by a trick play on 4th and forever, and Thomas Morstead threw a completion that got them the first down. They haven't scored a touchdown in like 3 games, Chris. I mean, it's so inept. And I really wanted the Miami Dolphins to play Zach Wilson. So I hate the Jets for pulling the string right now and putting Tim freaking Boyle in instead of Zach Wilson.
Well, I'll go one more time because I do have a specific moment, and you witnessed this moment with me. We're in New Jersey. We're watching the Miami Dolphins. I think it was week 1. Was it the opening week?
No, I think it was week 3.
Yeah, we're 0-2. Yeah. We're 0-2, but against good teams, we thought, like, you know, we got this in the bag. Ronnie Brown had a great game. Kerry Washington had a kick return for a touchdown by the Jets, I believe. And then Chad, future Dolphin Pennington, on a QB draw in our end zone where we're sitting in, which, by the way, we made the biggest mistake in history by sitting nosebleeds in MetLife during a Dolphins-Jets game.
It wasn't even MetLife. It was Meadowlands.
Yeah, it was the Meadowlands. Yep. And then we had a guy with a shell necklace above us attempt to throw beer on us, and we ducked and went over a little girl. I remember just going hard on these guys. Like, it was terrible. And a walk-off win by Pennington. He did this stupid, like, high step in the end zone as unathletic as possible and threw the ball at the wall. Their crowd's going nuts. And as we're leaving this shitty stadium, which, by the way, Sam, if you remember, I had a sprained ankle because we played a fucking pickup football game and no Jet fans showed up. We just played each other. Walked around Times Square at the Wax Museum and all that. And I got a sprained ankle. I'm limping out of Meadowlands. We get to the parking lot or close to it. I was drunk. And I remember this drunk old Jet fan looking at me or us or something and said, Joe Namath's a better quarterback than Dan Marino. And I went off. And his granddaughter, whoever it was, jumped in the middle and said, he's drunk. Don't listen to him. And I was like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, there's no way Joe Namath is a better quarterback than Tim Boyle, let alone Dan Marino. So, yeah, I hate that moment in history other than hanging with my pals.
Well, the other part about that, too, is that we got into that rental van, and the Jets fans almost tipped it. They started rocking it back and forth. They saw, like, five or six Dolphins fans get into this van. And I'm like, inside, I'm like, you already won. What the fuck? Like, leave us alone. You won. You're 3 points better. Yeah. That was the 1-15 season for those. The Cam Cameron era. If anybody's looking for a reference there, you can go back and watch. I think it was week three. And I actually think they retired or they honored somebody at halftime.
Corbett, right? Wayne Corbett.
It was Wayne Corbett. Yeah, it was Wayne Corbett that he came out at halftime. And yeah, I mean, whatever. It was a shitty moment. But the Meadowlands was an awful stadium. I mean, MetLife is so much better, whatever you want to call it. But Meadowlands was garbage. That was a horrible stadium. So I'm glad that that's gone. All right. Well, those are the reasons why we hate the Jets. I mean, the Jets aren't very good here, Chris. I mean, they do have a couple of weapons on offense. Breece Hall is somebody that we do have to keep tabs on. Garrett Watson is pretty damn good, or Garrett Wilson or whatever his name is a pretty good wide receiver. But I got to tell you, after watching this Raider game for the Miami Dolphins and seeing Jalen Ramsey just jump from sideline to sideline to pick off passes, and Xavier Howard learning how to tackle against Davante Adams of all people, I'm not worried about any receiver catching a ball from Tim Boyle and doing anything of any damage against the Miami Dolphins in this game. They're just too good on defense right now. I mean, this defense for the last 3 weeks is sneaky. 13 points per game, something like that. I mean, they're not giving up a whole lot, and they're starting to turn the ball over. They have 30 quarterback sacks this year, which I think is like third or fourth in the league. Bradley Chubb's playing great. Jalen Phillips had an amazing game against the Raiders. He's feeling it. He's a very streaky player so far in his young career. So if he starts going, look out for the next couple of weeks. Mekhi Becton, I think, went out for the Jets. He's probably not going to play in this game. I mean, it's setting up for the Miami Dolphins to start pulverizing a team. And what better team to pulverize than the New York stinking Jets and just put an official end to their season the day after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, their offense doesn't worry me. Their defense is good. So I could see us struggling early on and maybe to get points or something like that. However, I just think this dam eventually ends up breaking and we do come out on top of this one.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing the Miami Dolphins lose this game. I will say this, though. And I want to throw this out there, and maybe this gets a couple people talking. If the Dolphins lose this game, is Mike McDaniel on a little bit of a warm seat? Let me pull the lens back even further. If the Miami Dolphins at this point, given the Buffalo Bills have fired their offensive coordinator, the Jets are on their third string quarterback, and the Patriots aren't even a factor, if they somehow don't win the AFC East, at 7-3, with the schedule that they have coming up, is Mike McDaniel on the hot seat at the end of the season?
No, I don't think so, because included in the upcoming schedule is Baltimore, Dallas, and Buffalo again. We have some cupcakes, but it's not the entire rest of this, and we're not that far ahead of Buffalo, who has, albeit a very tough schedule coming up as well. If they win games, we can't help it. You know, if they win games and they get ahead of us, and they already have the head-to-head tiebreaker with us, but if not saying the Jets are a good team, but if Mike doesn't, you know, take that monkey off his back of beating good teams, that will be an issue. But I think he's done too much, and he's too much of a national darling that Ross wouldn't make that big of a decision unless Jim Harbaugh comes available. And we all know Stephen Ross's love for him. So
I think if the Miami Dolphins don't win the AFC East this year, and there's not like a major or significant injury to justify that, people are going to start asking questions because they are that much better than everybody else. And the Bills are not as good as everyone thought. They're 6-5 right now. They could easily be 4-7.
Well, yeah, they got the Eagles coming up.
Yeah. I mean, they have a bad schedule coming up. I mean, they have the Chiefs, they have the Eagles, they've got a lot of players or a lot of teams that they have to play. That by the time they get back to us week 18, that game should not matter. And that's kind of my point. Yes, the Miami Dolphins still have some games ahead of them that are not cupcakes. The Ravens, the Cowboys, you can make a case for the Bills. But if they aren't clinching the AFC East before week 18, I think there's a problem. And I don't care how many games Buffalo Bills win between now and then. So that's why I bring that up. At this point, the AFC East is not good. Miami Dolphins are good, but the AFC East is not. So if they don't win, and I'm saying that here in November, the AFC East, I think there will be questions about Mike McDaniel. That's my
I mean, what do we got? Jets, Commanders, Jets Titans. Again, Titans, and
Well, then you have the Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills. That, those are your seven.
That's our last three. Yeah, so yeah, we should 10-3 leading up to those three games or what have you, or 11-3. Yeah.
There's no reason why the Miami Dolphins should not sweep the Jets, beat the Commanders, and work the Tennessee Titans on a Monday night.
Yeah, that's 11-3 going into Baltimore, Dallas. So one NFC game. Yeah, I mean, we should be clinching with like a loss by a couple teams or what have you, because they're all going to beat up on each other coming up, and we got some cupcakes.
Well, and you look at again, you look at the Bills, they're playing the Eagles, they're playing the Chiefs, they're playing a couple other games that they aren't really prepared for. I'd be shocked if they come out of that unscathed. But anyway,
quick question for you, Sam.
Yeah.
That game we were at.
Uh-huh.
One guess. Who was our leading tackler that game?
Ooh. The Meadowlands game?
Yep.
Man, I couldn't even tell you who was on the team. Like Joey Porter? Was Joey Porter part of it?
Joey Porter was on the team, and he was eighth. Jason Taylor was ninth.
All right, so I'm going to go with – it was probably like Jeremiah Bell or somebody like that who was a defensive back, because that just tells me if Joey Porter and Taylor are not anywhere near there, it's got to be a defensive back somewhere.
So second in tackles was Channing Crowder, leading the team in tackles in double digits, Donnie Spragan.
Donnie freaking Spragan from the Denver Broncos.
With 11 tackles, five solos, led our team.
That guy, that's the quietest 11 tackles of any game ever. I forgot he was on the team.
Donnie Trent Spragan. Green had a great game. Dude was 23 of 36, 318, a touchdown. Ronnie Brown had 112 yards rushing, two touchdowns, and 99 yards receiving and a touchdown on that screen.
Yeah.
If anybody asked you who won this game, Chad Pennington, 124 yards passing. We lost. Like, that's how bad that team was. The leading.
We only lost by three, though.
Yeah, sure did. And then they wiped the floor with us the second game.
Yeah, by then.
Like 40-13 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Donnie Spragan.
There you go. So, let's get into it. I was told that people were lost. They didn't know how to drink last week, Chris, as you take a swig from that orange claw or whatever you call that thing. Clawhammer. Shout out to Clawhammer. They're not even sponsoring the show, but I like the name. So people didn't know what to do last week because we didn't have a show for the Raider game. So they didn't know how to drink. I'm like, just drink. You know what to do. But let's give them some guidance here. Let's do the drinking game, the bingo game for the Jets-Dolphins Black Friday affair. Why don't you go ahead and start? What is the first square for the drinking game?
If there's if there's any kind of video of people in line outside of stores or footage of fighting for electronic purchases, you drink.
That's a good one. If there is any sort of montage of Jumbo Elliott scoring a touchdown, or the fake spike against the Jets that Dan Marino did, or any of those monumental moments, Ricky Williams giving a stiff arm to the Jets defender, if there's some sort of montage coming in or out of any commercial break, you drink.
Anytime they show Fireman Ed, you drink.
If they show Santa Claus in Jets gear or Dolphins gear, drink.
That's a good one. Let's see. That's good. Yeah. If they you took my Santa, man. Oh, man. If you got another one, go, because I'm thinking.
All right. This is a good they show Mike McDaniel and Robert Saleh while coaching together for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
You drink.
They show any kind of footage of either player from either team handing out turkeys the night before with the team. You drink.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's see here. If they show Tua's stats versus Zach Wilson's stats, you drink.
If they show a highlight from the Hard Knocks episode that plays tonight and at all, you drink.
If they show Robbie Chosen when he was Robbie Anderson on the Jets, you drink.
That's a good one. If they show footage of Tim Boyle in another uniform besides the Jets from his previous teams, you drink.
I like that. And then bonus, if they show the 42-yard long completion that he had when he was on the Detroit Lions, which is his career long, you take a double shot.
Nice. If the announcers at all mentioned during the game leftovers or like a cold turkey sandwich, you drink.
Yeah, if they show the upcoming schedule for the Jets and the Dolphins, you drink. Some of these are easy, folks. They're going to do that.
We want to get you drunk, guys.
Yeah.
This is perfect, Bill. Predictably drunk was Sam's previous podcast, so shout out to Predictably Drunk. And all the shots you used to do in videos. Good Lord.
So I had a moment recently where I was at a show and I did a little walk-in, right? So I bumped somebody from the show and the host got really excited that I came in because locally I'm not a legend in comedy by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm a well-known name. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go up and do a little bit of time. So I had to bump some poor kid, which, you know, I didn't feel that bad about, but yeah, for the microphone and camera's sake, I felt awful about it. And the guy goes, anything you want me to plug? I'm like, yeah, just plug my podcast. So he must have looked it up and somehow found Predictably Drunk and starts promoting Predictably Drunk on the stage. I'm like, dude, I haven't done that show in like 7 years. wrong fucking show, idiot. I'm going to bump you next time. So somebody somewhere downloaded Predictably Drunk this week, which is...
I was saying, you have like activity all of a sudden and you haven't done it for years. Let's see here. If they show footage of Joe Namath coming off the field doing this... Ooh. Or in his fucking fur coat, you drink.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Joe Namath, Dan Marino. We talked about Dan Marino a little bit. So, yeah, I'll leave that one alone. That might be enough. Do we have enough for the bingo card? I think
that might be enough. Like a free space, you know, free space. So you hear a JETS chant, you know. Here's one. I got one more. Because this has happened a lot recently. So I want to double down on it. I'm a better Sam. I think this is a safe bet. If at the end of the game, we are winning and it's over, we're taking the knee or whatever, and you hear a very empty stadium with a chant, "Let's go Dolphins," make it over the broadcast because of our MetLife takeover, you drink.
There you go. I like that one. Let's end on that one because I feel like that's what's going to happen. And it's actually a nice segue into the last thing we have to do before we get out of here and start gorging and engorging on some turkey. What's the final score going to be, Chris? What's it going to be? Miami Dolphins, New York Jets, Black Friday, first game in NFL history on Black Friday. Jets are awful. Dolphins are not. Who wins and by how much?
28-6 Miami.
28-6 Miami. That's a good score. I like that score. I'm gonna give them a little bit more. I feel like we're going to throttle down in the second half. I don't think this is going to be particularly close. But I'm going to go with 31-10.
Okay.
31-10. They get a little, it's going to be like 31-3 for most of the game. And then at the end, they're just going to go ahead and get a little whatever backup to the backup touchdown against somebody who won't be on our team next week.
Sounds good to me. Both big victories, enjoying the holiday weekend. And then what are you going to do on Sunday, Sam? No Dolphins game. So it's going to be pretty odd.
I got to tell you, man, my house is in shambles right now. I have so many things wrong with my house. You know what? It's Hatesgiving. I feel like we should save it for Hatesgiving. There's going to be a bonus episode if you're listening to this right now. It's going to be our 75th annual Hatesgiving Day parade coming up, and I'll tell you all about why my life sucks. And Chris will be there too. So on behalf of Chris, myself, the entire Believe Network presented by BetOnline.ag, the only thing left to say is goodbye from Bourbonville.
Later.